Hello and welcome to EWTN Pro Life Weekly. I'm your host, Prudence Robertson.
The primary purpose of this bill is to protect providers operating in the state.
Protecting medical providers, but at what cost? A state lawmaker from Maine shares concerns about a bill she claims could normalize child trafficking, do away with parental rights, and promotes life-altering transgender surgeries for minors. Baby Olivia, the one-of-a-kind video series that provides a window into the womb, will now be a mandatory part of the curriculum in some schools, but pro-abortion advocates attempt to stand in the way.
Fetus is Latin for developing human offspring.
Legally calling an embryo a child puts the IVF process into question.
In vitro fertilization continues to dominate the political debate, now resulting in state legislative action. We take a look at the Alabama court case and new law that sparked this debate. We're following breaking news out of the Diocese of Arlington, where police have found what they believe to be the body of a late-term baby in a pond in Leesburg, Virginia. It's unclear whether the child was born alive or the victim of an abortion. Police are encouraging anyone with information to get in contact with them. Bishop Michael Burbidge issued a statement on the discovery, writing that the diocese is willing to assist with proper burial and committal of the remains. He also urged people to pray for the child and mother and anyone involved in the incident, and encouraged women who find themselves in unexpected or difficult pregnancies to reach out to Project Gabriel at helpforpregnantwomen.org or Catholic Charities at ccda.net.
This is protecting clinicians. So we're talking about people who work to serve patients, providing gender-affirming care, providing reproductive care.
227 states there is only a legal right to encourage gender dysphoria and not to question it or slow it down.
A public hearing went late into the night last week in the state of Maine. The hearing revolved around Bill LD-227 that supporters say would provide legal protection for those seeking, quote, gender-affirming care as well as abortions. Opponents are warning it puts children in serious danger of human trafficking and kidnapping by allowing transportation of minor children to Maine and tramples on parental rights. The legislation would prohibit enforcement of subpoenas and judgments from other states, which prompted attorneys general from 16 states to co-sign a letter threatening to sue the state of Maine. One state representative in Maine is speaking out in strong opposition to this bill. Katrina Smith joins us now. Representative Smith, welcome, not only as a legislator, but also as a mother. Why are you against this proposed legislation?
This proposed legislation is really horrific for parents around the country who are concerned about what someone will have their child do in another state. This bill gives a legal right to children from around the country to come to Maine and have gender services or an abortion. And that means that they have the right. So if that child gets here and you as a parent didn't want them to have any gender services or an abortion, that child has its own legal right because they come to Maine, and you would not be able to stop your child or save your child if someone that isn't someone that loves them, a trafficker or a rapist even, somebody like that brings them here, you would have no rights to try to stop your child or save your child from these procedures.
Extremely concerning. And supporters say the bill, it protects medical providers, but concerns have been raised about human trafficking and parental rights. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, sure, it protects medical providers, but what does it protect them from? It protects them from, you know, giving an abortion to a child whose parents might not have approved it. It protects a medical provider from maybe disfiguring or harming somebody who goes through a gender transition and regrets it years later. It protects them, but it's not the right kind of protection. It's not protection because they're doing a legitimate job. It's a protection because they're doing that something that somebody is going to be upset about. It's not even about Maine kids. This is about other, you know, children around the country, right, which is proven by the letters that the attorney generals wrote to Maine. They said, don't do this to our kids. We, you know, it's something we don't want.
Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. And can you tell me how this legislation came about, Representative Smith?
Well, we had a bill just a month ago called LD 1735, which was basically the same thing on a smaller version about gender trafficking and allowing people to come to this state and hiding them once they're here. That bill was killed because of the public outcry from around the country. To be honest with you, the Maine legislators don't care that much about what the Mainers have to say. Mm. But if it gets enough attention throughout the country, they start to back off. So that bill was killed and they have brought it back up. I don't know why. We have full-term abortion horrifically here in Maine, and they just can't put the subject down. They have to keep pushing it. They know that providers, something's going to happen with an abortion that a provider does that they needed further legal protection. And I think that's why they keep pushing this bill and are bringing this bill forward.
Wow. And, you know, it seems like Mainers are speaking up about this law. What's the likelihood that this bill is going to become law?
Unfortunately, I mean, I think it's too expansive. There's so many aspects of it to it that are just insane.
Yeah.
But now they're digging their heels in a little bit. They are saying, we are going to do this. You can't tell us what to do. It's a little bit of a two-edged sword, the attention from around the country and those attorney generals from conservative states, because the Democrats here don't want to be told what to do. They think they're on the right side of this when we know they aren't. Mm. But I fear they're going to dig in their heels. But I also have hope that it's just too much that they won't tackle it. You know, just could use your prayers in that area for sure.
Certainly, certainly. Representative Smith, is there anything else happening in the statehouse in Maine regarding this bill or other items that our viewers should be aware of, things that we should be praying for or learning about?
Well, we just really do not have respect for life here in Maine, mm. Both on the abortion side, the elderly side, conversion therapy. It's really a dark place in Maine, and we are trying to fight it and keep our voices out there, telling people to just keep us in prayer. We're a small state, but if it happens in our state and they figure out how to do it, that's when they bring it to other states because they figured out how to get it through here in Maine. So it's really, a difficult spot we're in. We have hope that we can change things, but the state of Maine definitely needs to turn around, and it will affect the rest of the country.
Mm, well, you're certainly a beacon of light in the darkness. Representative Katrina Smith, thank you for speaking out on this bill and for joining us today. God bless you.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
This is the moment that life begins. A new human being has come into existence. At fertilization, her gender, ethnicity, hair color, eye color, and countless traits are already determined.
A look at life in the womb. This young girl is named Baby Olivia. The video produced by the pro-life group Live Action has garnered more than 6 million views on YouTube since its posting 2 years ago. Live Action's hope is that Baby Olivia will educate the world on human development in utero. The animation was reviewed and certified by leading OBGYNs and medical professionals, including those associated with the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, also known as APLOG, in addition to the American College of Pediatricians and the Charlotte Lozier Institute. However, the pro-abortion medical group, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, are working to block kids from seeing these scientifically accurate videos, calling the content anti-abortion misinformation designed to manipulate. Nevertheless, Olivia's message is spreading. The West Virginia State Senate recently advanced a bill that would require Baby Olivia videos to be played in schools to teach children about human development. The legislation must now be approved by the West Virginia State House of Representatives. Other states are following suit with similar measures in Iowa, Missouri, and Kentucky. The Baby Olivia bills in Kentucky and Iowa have passed their respective state houses and now head to the state senates. The Missouri bill is still in the introductory phase. And on Wednesday, Pope Francis celebrated his 11th anniversary as Shepherd of our Church. Throughout his papacy, he has advocated for the protection of life at every stage. We take a look at some of his most memorable moments so far, standing up for life.
I ask, is it licit? Is it right to eliminate a human life to resolve a problem? It's a human life, that's science. The moral question is whether it is right to take a human life to solve a problem? Indeed, is it right to hire a hitman to solve a problem?
Hiring a hitman. Those strong words from the Holy Father on the practice of abortion. Pope Francis has defended the right to life throughout his papacy, speaking out for those who can't speak for themselves from conception until natural death. Upholding Catholic teaching, it reads in the Catechism, human life is sacred. No one can, under any circumstance, claim for himself the right directly to destroy an innocent human being. Francis has never backed down from standing up for life, likening abortion to the work of the mafia.
Abortion is not the lesser evil. It is a crime. You throw someone out to save another. That is what the mafia does. It is a crime, an absolute evil.
And comparing the practice of aborting sick and disabled children to the eugenics of the Nazis.
And we will not let the Supreme Court have the final word on abortion or our bodies.
The historic overturning of Roe v. Wade in 2022 in the United States drew mixed reactions from Americans. The Holy Father shared his joy at the news with a letter to America expressing gratitude toward those who have marched for the past 49 years. Writing, building a just society rests upon the sacred dignity of every person and the welcome given to each one as brother and sister.
I deem deplorable the practice of so-called surrogate motherhood, which represents a grave violation of the dignity of the woman and the child.
Continuing his advocacy for human life in the womb, in January, Pope Francis called for a worldwide ban on surrogacy, saying the practice exploits the child as an object of trafficking. Consistent with church teaching, he advocates for respect for human life in all moments. In 2015, he forcefully spoke to U.S. lawmakers on the death penalty.
This conviction has led me from the beginning of my ministry to advocate at different levels the global abolition of the death penalty.
And in 2018, revised the Catechism's teaching on capital punishment, calling it an attack on the inviolability and dignity of the person, and deeming it inadmissible in all cases. The Holy Father has defended the dignity of human life in all of its stages.
And this is a sin against the Creator, against God the Creator, who created things in this way.
Condemning the evils of euthanasia and highlighting the paramount importance of charity, compassion, and need for palliative care for the sick, elderly, and dying. Francis himself provides a personal witness to aging with dignity at 87 years old.
Yeah, Pope Francis has actually worn his declining health very publicly. He has spoken about the importance of caring for the elderly. He is a demonstration, I think, of persevering. Of fortitude as a virtue, but also of showing that there is ongoing value to the elderly, to those who are facing infirmities and health problems, that they still have something really important to contribute.
In honor of our seniors, the Holy Father established the World Day for the Elderly and Grandparents in 2021. The Holy Father has also supported adoption, another example of caring for life, saying in an address last summer, quote, every child that arrives is God's gift. Every baby, in every case, and in whatever situation, is to be welcomed. We wish the Holy Father a very happy 11th anniversary. Coming up, an update on the IVF debate taking place nationwide as Alabama lawmakers give a legal pass to IVF providers. And on the Emerald Isle, a recent vote to protect the traditional family unit inspires hope. This and more after the break.
So I'm here at this healthcare clinic. Contraceptive care. That is the kind of work that happens here. In addition, of course, to abortion care.
On Thursday, Vice President Kamala Harris became the first sitting vice president to visit an abortion facility as part of her campaign. Harris stopped by a Planned Parenthood in Minnesota as part of the Biden administration's, quote, fight for reproductive freedoms tour across the country aimed at garnering votes for the presidential election. In January of 2023, the governor of Minnesota, Tim Walz, enacted a law that enshrines a fundamental right to abortion in the state. Vice President Harris has a record of showing favoritism towards the abortion industry that traces back to her time as Attorney General of California. There, she prosecuted investigative journalists for their work that exposed Planned Parenthood's purchase and sale of baby body parts. Minnesota marks the fifth state Harris has visited since President Biden's State of the Union address last week.
I do believe that my two-year-old is a person. I believe that my 13-month-old is a person. And in November, when my wife gives birth to my third child, because she informed me 3 days ago she's pregnant, I do believe that person is a person.
We all have eyes on Alabama, and we don't want these bills with personhood, and we don't want these bills with personhood language.
Impassioned speeches at the Iowa House of Representatives arguing over the wording of a bill that is designed to protect mothers and their unborn babies. This in response to the debate around in vitro fertilization that began in Alabama and spread nationwide. Critics of the bill, HF 2575, oppose changes to the current language. Right now, the bill outlines penalties for the termination of serious injury to a, quote, human pregnancy. Republicans want to update that language to unborn person. The bill was introduced well before the Alabama Supreme Court ruling and does not, in its current form, permit a prohibition on IVF. Iowa Republicans passed that bill late last week, making it a felony to cause the death of an unborn person. The legislation now heads to the state Senate as debate on the language continues. Meantime, the Departments of Defense and Veterans Affairs are expanding in vitro fertilization coverage for service members. Initially, it covered married heterosexual couples using their own sperm and egg. Now, unmarried couples, regardless of their sexual orientation, are covered, as well as single troops using donor eggs or sperm. The reforms were made in the wake of a lawsuit filed in August by Yale Law School and the National Organization for Women's New York chapter. As you can see, the recent Alabama Supreme Court case on in vitro fertilization ignited a firestorm of reactions across the U.S. A new law just signed by Alabama's governor grants legal immunity to IVF providers. But how does this come up against their state's recent Supreme Court ruling?
And SB 159 has passed.
Senate Bill 159, the Senate concurs.
A near unanimous vote by the Alabama State Legislature advanced a new law on March 6th, protecting in vitro fertilization providers from criminal prosecution for the, quote, damage or death of an embryo. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey quickly signed the bill into law that evening. In a statement by Ivey, she said, quote, particularly in the heat of a national election, we will hear a lot of political rhetoric around IVF. Let me say clearly, Alabama supports growing families through IVF. She also said she hoped IVF businesses in the state that had stopped their services would immediately resume them. The law comes after the Alabama Supreme Court ruled embryos created by in vitro fertilization are human. The decision sparked national outrage from both sides of the aisle.
Hopeful moms are now being denied the chance to start a family through IVF.
I believe in the sanctity of every human life, always have. And because of that, I support IVF and its availability. It needs to be readily available.
And both presidential frontrunners.
I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious little beautiful baby.
Guarantee the right to IVF. Guarantee it nationwide.
The ruling came in the wake of a lawsuit by three couples whose embryonic children were killed in a lab accident where they were being preserved frozen. Justices say their deaths violated the Wrongful Death of a Minor Act. Their decision reads in part, unborn children are children under the act. without exception based on developmental stage, physical location, or any other ancillary characteristics.
But the Alabama Supreme Court ruling shows that these children die in huge numbers through the IVF process. And so that's a really great service, I think, to the public.
Many argue that couples who struggle with infertility need IVF to fulfill their dreams of starting a family. Still others claim that this Alabama court decision could ban IVF across America. But Dr. Monique Ruberu, a fertility expert and pro-life advocate, says otherwise.
There are so many women that I have helped in my office who had issues with their fertility. And when they went through IVF, they were basically labeled as unexplained infertility. And there truly is no such thing as unexplained infertility. That's a complete lie. It just means that people haven't looked hard enough to find the cause.
IVF is opposed by the Catholic Church because it separates marriage and the procreative act and destroys the youngest of children in their embryonic form. Carter Sneed, the director of the DeNicola Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame, expands on this.
Because IVF conceives children, because it doesn't involve the conjugal union of spouses to create this life, it is an imperfect and incomplete, problematic form of reproduction. So the church says we don't do that.
Stephanie Smith, president and CEO of the Alabama Policy Institute, joins us now to further explain what's happening in Alabama. Stephanie, thanks for joining me. Let's clear up the confusion. The Alabama State Supreme Court ruled that embryos are protected by law as children outside the womb. Courts don't pass laws, right? So what does this ruling actually mean? What will come of it?
Well, the ruling doesn't make IVF illegal in the state of Alabama, and it also didn't address necessarily the personhood question, but it did declare that the definition of minor children included frozen embryos. And so it came to the rescue of those parents who were part of the IVF process, whose children were unintentionally destroyed, but still destroyed. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the reaction from our legislative body to the judicial decision was not to protect life and was not to protect even the people going through the IVF process. It was to protect the clinics that actually create this procedure within the confines of our state. And right. So the Senate bill that passed gave blanket immunity criminally and civilly to those clinics and also to those involved with the clinics. Rather than protecting life, they chose to protect the clinics. Mm.
It's concerning. And lawmakers, as you're alluding to, they really jumped to protect these IVF providers. But does their law actually relate to the specifics of the state Supreme Court's decision? How do those kind of stack up next to one another?
Right. I mean, I guess that kind of remains to be seen. I think that the reaction from the legislative body was more a reaction to the crisis that was created by the closure of the clinics. Mm-hmm. There were three clinics that immediately closed to protect themselves and the liability to themselves. The frustration from a policy standpoint was that's actually not what the Supreme Court decision did. That was they did that on their own volition and created their own crisis intentionally. And our concern is with life. Our concern is to make sure that women and children in all stages are protected in the reproduction process. And, our concern is more about the children and the families involved and less about protecting the clinics.
It's very interesting, the point you made that they created their own crisis, these IVF providers. Thank you for clarifying that. Stephanie, does this law change what happens now to all of the embryos that IVF providers tend to throw away or perform tests on or just kind of leave to thaw out and die?
It basically allows the IVF clinics to do whatever they want. Like I said, from a policy perspective, the frustrating thing for us is that it sidestepped the policy. The policy that needs to be addressed is if IVF is going to be a procedure that is legal in the states, there need to be parameters around it. And there need to be considerations for ethics. There need to be parameters around the possible eugenics that are happening in those procedures. And most of all, well, from our perspective, the mothers and the children involved in those processes need to be protected from being part of that process.
Sure. And Stephanie, you know probably better than anyone, Alabama is such a strongly pro-life state. So I'm curious, what are you hearing from Alabamians about all of this?
Yeah, I think that a lot of Alabamians were kind of fooled by the manufactured crisis. But as one of the strongest pro-life states in the nation, I feel strongly that we will further this process and use this this negative situation as a Romans 8:28 moment, and and create something in the state of Alabama that is a truly pro-life piece of legislation.
Sure. Well, Stephanie Smith of the Alabama Policy Institute, thank you for joining us and for your pro-life work in your state.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
To wrap up our program, some good news from Ireland, where voters overwhelmingly expressed opposition to a measure that would have changed the definition of a family. The Constitution's current wording promotes marriage as the means by which to rear children and start a family, giving married couples special recognition. The failed measure would have expanded the Constitution to celebrate child rearing out of wedlock by adding that the foundation of a family can be based not just on marriage, but any, quote, durable relationships. But the vast majority of the Irish people voted to leave the Constitution as is, respecting the dignity of marriage and the traditional family. That does it for this edition of EWTN Pro-Life Weekly. Be sure to follow us on social media, including X, Facebook, and Instagram, and sign up for the Pro-Life Pulse at EWTN.com/pro-life to get news and updates right in your inbox. Before we go, we want to remind you about a massive Catholic event, the National Eucharistic Congress, this July. You can get discounted tickets through EWTN. Log on to EWTN.com/Eucharist to sign up.